In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, beginning a series on the therapeutic movement. I want to start with some therapy from Scripture. It's in John 14, verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said to Jesus, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I gather from the many letters that I receive from people who want counseling and many people who have been in professional counseling or are still in it, that what they're desperately casting about for is peace, the absence of fear, confidence. And they will pay fancy prices to go to professional counselors. There's a danger in this, and I make no apologies for warning my listeners. Our thinking has been infected by the secular therapeutic movement. It has infiltrated the church. It has changed the basic tenets of our Christian faith in some ways. Of course, we can't change the tenets, but we can certainly change the perspective from which we look at things. And if we are forever looking inside, trying to understand ourselves, dredging up the past, rummaging around in memories, some of which are false, I think we're in trouble. Now, the passage that I read to you from John 14 points up once again the radical nature of the things Jesus taught, the deep gulf which separates the world from his kingdom. "Peace I leave with you," he said. "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." The peace that Jesus can give to you and me is a totally different kind of peace. I had a letter from a woman whose husband left her. She was immediately advised to make an appointment with a Christian counselor. When I asked her why, she was quite taken aback by the question. She said to me, "But Elizabeth, don't you think I need counseling?" Well, this woman is a Christian. She's versed in the Word of God. Christ is the perfect counselor. Remember that Jesus promised his disciples that he would not leave them alone. "I will not leave you orphans," he said. "I will come to you, and I am going to send you a comforter, one who will stand alongside, the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who is given to guide us into all truth." The question that I always want to ask those who tell me that they're in counseling or signing up for counseling is, have you really gone first to the cross of Jesus? Have you taken it to Jesus? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, and might I say, oh, what needless counseling we pay for at times, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I can hear someone saying, but I've prayed about it. I've prayed my head off. I've prayed for years. It didn't work. My question then would be, did you wait on God for his answer? The church has always been equipped to counsel the mental and emotional sides of the personality. All the instructions that we need are there in the scriptures. I'm not denying that psychology has some legitimacy. I repeat, I do not deny that psychology has some legitimacy. But where do we start? On what foundations are these two disciplines founded? Like medicine, biology, astronomy, and physics, psychology can collect observable data, but it cannot offer any insight into the ultimate questions. Psychology and medicine are not necessarily in competition with the Bible. Now let's look at why the therapeutic movement and the recovery movement have become so widely accepted. One of the reasons is a theological deficiency among pastors. They simply don't know their Bibles. Some of them don't know God. Some of them don't know how to pray. Some of them are not well enough versed to realize how profound is the Bible's analysis of the personality. Another reason, the lack of respect for the competence of pastors and the unquestioned reverence for and deference to psychologists and psychiatrists. Number three, the biblical illiteracy that characterizes the average Christian. Number four, the attractiveness of the content. Five, failure to build churches that are relationally strong. The triumph of the therapeutic is therefore partly a spur to the church and partly a judgment, a further example of the unpaid bills of the church. In my most difficult times of my life, I have found the truth of Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God. My God has promised to supply all my need. He is my Savior. What does it mean to be saved? Does it mean a free ticket to heaven and nothing else? Does it have no transforming power in my present life today? He came to save us from ourselves, not to build our self-image, but to show us that we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And those are words directly from the Bible. That is God's estimate. Wretched, poor, miserable, blind, naked, helpless sinners. And Jesus Christ, in his love and in his mercy, came to deliver us. And do you know what it says about our griefs and our sorrows? He bore them in his own body on the cross of Calvary. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus is a man fully acquainted with grief. He knows what it's like to be rejected, abused, hated, argued with, ignored, and ultimately killed. He knows what that's like. And we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points, get that, in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. What kind of a high priest do you have? Is he a psychiatrist, or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? I warn you, I beg you, I plead with you. Try God first. Get down on your knees alone in silence. It's amazing how God can throw light on something which has seemed impenetrable darkness in our lives. If we wait for Him, if we take time to be silent, maybe God wants you to find a prayer partner, someone to pray with. It doesn't have to be a professional necessarily. Any wiser, older Christian who has walked with the Lord, ask them to pray with you. May God reveal Himself to us as Savior, Lord, Counselor, and Friend.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.